Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Good morning, you're listening to Breakfast Business with Tom McEnany in for Joe Lynam, is on a well-deserved break. Coming up in the show this morning, we will look at the ongoing turmoil in the markets. A Fermanagh distillery expands into the US market and a new solar energy system that could slash home heating bills. But first, economist Austin Hughes for the paper roundup and the markets. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Not too bad. Austin, I'm doing a little bit better than the markets this morning, although there was a rally in European markets.
Yeah, there was yesterday quite an improvement up, you know, 3 or 4%. And we've mixed news in Asia this morning. And if you're, you know, a MAGA person and a Trump follower, you know, Wednesday was the best day in U.S. stocks since 2008, and they may well end the week higher, but, you know, the reality is slightly different. The world, I think, is continuing to fall apart. If you look at yesterday's close in the U.S., the S&P down 3.5%. Year to date, it's down 10%. And significantly, while, you know, most of the focus understandably has been on equity markets for the last while, because what we've seen is investors saying, what's happening to the environment in which companies operate? And it looks really sour, you know, over the last month since the Liberation Day has turned to, as one commentator said today, it's turned to Liquidation Week. But I think that the real issue that's become a real threat for the global economy over the last little while is that the pressure point has moved from being more or less exclusively in the equity markets into the dollar and into interest rate markets. And that is something that is potentially a real, real concern, because if you're Joe average running a business in the US, not only is the world altogether more uncertain, but it's going to cost you a lot more to borrow to try and get in stock or to deal with the stock you've built up over the last couple of months ahead of tariffs. So kind of very disturbing that, you know, problems are happening right across the financial market plumbing.
Okay, Austin, can you explain to me why we had such a difference in the reaction in Europe to the reaction in the US? Why did we have what I think was being called yesterday a relief rally across Europe, but in the US markets still ended up down?
Well, there are two elements to it. One is partly a catch up that Mr. Trump announced late on Wednesday that he was suspending the 20% tariffs and all the other extra tariffs on European and other country stocks, with the exception of China. So in that sense, there was US markets rebounded very dramatically after the European close, and there was an element of catch up there. A second element is I think the markets through yesterday began to think, hang on a minute, we still have 10% tariffs, we still have 25% tariffs on steel, and we have 145% tariffs on China. So this idea of relief, kind of it proved to be quite a short-term relief. And of course, the other element, of course, is that there has been a switching out of US financial markets and into other countries. And as a result, there's been a little bit of outperformance over the last while. Now, it is encouraging the futures are indicating that European markets will start fairly flat this morning. So at the minute, at least, it doesn't look like we're going to see a dramatic sell-off in Europe today. But God knows, you know, we're only a Mr. Trump tweet away from either another sharp rally or a very significant downturn. You know, volatility is the name of the game. We're seeing very large moves for no good reason quite often. And in that regard, it's a very nasty and nervous time in markets.
Can I turn a little parochial for a moment, Austin, and ask, we saw yesterday pretty good gains, strong gains in Irish stocks, AIB up 4.1%, Bank of Ireland up 3.5%, and PTSB up 3.2%. Is the worst, and I'm asking you to look at your crystal ball here for a moment, but is the worst over domestically? Are people giving a sigh of relief?
The worst is over for the next 5 minutes, definitely. I think probably the worst may be over for Ireland in a couple of respects. I think one, in terms of a lot of the commentary here in Ireland, we may be over-egged just how bad it would be. And it's going to be very difficult. Ireland is a very open economy, and consequently, it does suffer a lot when the world goes backward. But, you know, the economy here has proven itself resilient. You know, we've come through three or four apocalyptic moments over the last 10 years. If you think back, we've had Brexit, we've had COVID, we've had war in Europe and cost of living issues. And, you know, there are roughly 750,000 more people at work in the Irish economy now than there were 10 years ago. And in that respect, we are probably more weatherproof than a lot of other economies. And certainly we start from a better position. The public finances, okay, boosted partly by corporation tax receipts. They're altogether stronger than look across the water to the UK, where they're wondering, you know, what will they do to pull back spending on benefits? What taxes can they increase without breaking election promises? So we're in a better position to really come through this. And I think maybe that is starting to seep through to the Irish psyche. That may be, and the fact that we've had a week of really good weather, which is, again, a bit of nearly as much as an aberration as the market performance over the last little while.
So it doesn't matter what Trump is doing with tariffs. Just look at the sunshine outside. Can I focus on that resilience there for a moment? Would it be true to say that most people underestimate? Now, I, like you, have worked through a number of recessions, financial crises, and reported on them over the years. Would it be true to say that most people underestimate the resilience, particularly people looking from outside, underestimate the resilience of the Irish economy?
Yeah, I think so. You know, now the reality is, since the financial crisis, there's been a scarring of Irish economic behaviour, and that works two ways. First of all, it makes us very susceptible to any bad news, so we're very radar-like focused on threats to the economy. But secondly, it makes us a little bit more cautious. So, for example, you know, 20 years ago, borrowing was was increasing around 25 to 30% a year. Now it's under 2%. You know, incomes are much stronger. As I say, employment is stronger. So there is probably that sense that we, understandably, because of the experience of 2008, we're very careful about what we do in the main. And in that respect, it probably, as I say, helps us a little bit get through these difficult times. But we, you know, things like Brexit, where the Irish economy was uniquely challenged, we have managed through those elements. Politically, we have done quite well as well. Diplomatically, we've done well. It's going to be a tougher one with the tech sector and the US multinational, because that's not in a lot of EU countries' interests at the moment. But I do think there is this sense that perhaps we look to the negative side, and I don't think it's unreasonable, but I do think it serves us well a lot of the time.
Austin, can I ask you about inflation? Because we had headline inflation numbers out of the US and Ireland. Before we look at the Irish numbers, normally we'd be paying a lot of attention to US inflation numbers. But given that the world has changed since the tariff regimes, did the numbers we saw, what were the numbers yesterday, and do they really matter?
The US numbers came in a little better than expected, and US inflation hasn't improved quite as much as economists anticipated, but it was just 0.1% on the month. The underlying inflation down 2.4%. So it was a decent number. But as you say, in the US, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of estimates of how much of a hit US consumers will take from higher prices. And the Yale Budget Lab, which is one of the authorities on this, upgraded its estimates now to say that the average US household will face higher prices that will hurt them by something equivalent to about $4,700 on average in the next year because of higher tariffs. So, you know, inflation numbers back rearview mirror for the US. US consumers are terrified that, you know, prices are going to rise very rapidly in the months ahead. The Irish numbers, not bad, but a little bit worrisome in a couple of areas. We saw headline inflation in Ireland, 2%, the underlying rate a little bit higher. But the thing that kind of disturbed me a little bit was food price inflation was up to 3.3%. That's the highest since February of last year. And you're seeing really chunky increases in lots of areas. Beef, 8%, milk, 12.5%, butter, 12.7%, chocolate, that's important to me, 14.8%. You know, so there's a lot of elements there where things are rising. And then you have the old reliables, things like motor insurance up 10.5%. So, you know, there's a lot of ways in which Irish consumers are still facing cost of living pressures. Things are definitely not nearly as bad as they were. But if you add uncertainty and prices edging that little bit higher, it makes for a still challenging environment. And it's one of the ones where certainly I would maybe be a little bit more cautious than the government in saying, you know, we're going to have to be a lot more careful about the budget and that. I think they need to be a little bit more balanced and say, okay, we're not going to really pull back dramatically, because confidence is going to be important in what's a very uncertain world at the minute.
Okay, Austin, believe me, chocolate is important to all of us. And no doubt the food price inflation is something the show will keep an eye on. That's economist Austin Hughes. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.